This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Good morning, everyone. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. As Solomon surveys life, he shows me something rich in chapter 4 that I want to share with us. He sees a lot of inequality, a lot of adversity, a lot of oppression. Life doesn't go the way we want it to go oftentimes. But what Solomon helps us to understand that as we go through this life, there's one word that we need to find in our lives. And that word that I want to offer us this morning is simply this: balance. And I want you to write that word down this morning. If you don't write anything else down, it's finding that balance that God would have us to have in this life. Because life is filled with ups, and life is filled with downs. Life is filled with good times, and life is also filled with stomach aches along the way. Life sometimes will leave you full, and sometimes life will leave you empty. But you gotta take the good times along with the bad times, and you have to find the balance for this life. Some of us, we've left home for the very first time to come to college. No more parents telling us what time to go to bed, what time to get up. No more helicopter parenting in our lives. Praise God. We can go to breakfast when we want to. We can go to lunch when we want to. We can go to dinner when we want to. But now we have to set our own rules for our lives. And we have to find the balance. And you know, sometimes it's pretty exciting before you have to actually get there. Because when you find yourself in the midst of finding that balance for your own life, if you're anything like me, you start reaching back to find the balance that you had before you got here. Some of you are in your last year, maybe even in your last semester. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next week? How do I find balance as I prepare to leave and launch from this place that I've called home for the last 4-5 years of my life? And I don't want to claim that chapter 4 is an exhaustive list. Of course, it's not an exhaustive list, but I think it gives us some parameters that we can go by. Of course, if I had more time than this introduction I'm going to give you over the next 20 minutes, I would give you even more of the things that we need to find in our lives for balance. But I think this will give us a healthy start as we peruse through this text this morning and we find some balance for our lives. The first thing I want to tell you this morning, we need to find balance between laziness and labor. Laziness and labor. That laziness and rest piece. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 here, here's where it says, "Again, I saw that for all the toil and every skillful work, a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind." Verse 7 and 8 might be good here too. "Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son or brother. Yet there is no end at all on his labors, nor is his eyes satisfied with riches. But he never asks, 'For whom do I toil and deprive myself of good?'" The first thing I want to offer us this morning as we find the balance for our lives, where is the balance between laziness and rest? Or better yet, in this text, laziness and labor. Because on one hand in this text, Solomon looks at this person who is skillful. They're working. I mean, they're doing everything they know how to do. They're working with both hands. I mean, they are really working hard. And on the other hand, they have this other one that's just kind of folding his hands. Verse 5, and he consumes his own flesh. He's not doing anything. And here's what Solomon says in verse 6. Better a hand full with quietness than both hands full. First of all, let me say something about that laziness piece. It's never helpful to be lazy. Amen? My daddy had a rule when we were coming up. He used to tell my brother and I need you out to bed by 8 o'clock in the morning. We thought that was the dumbest rule in the world. I'm going to say amen to my own sermon. Because my old man thought that that was supposed to be the rule for Saturday too. Who gets up early on Saturday? And my dad said, well, if you need more rest, go to bed early on Friday night. Who does that? Who goes to bed early on Friday night? And I used to tell my dad, my philosophy is we can be lazy on Saturday morning. You should be able to stay in the bed to 10, 11, 12. And my daddy said, who told you that? I said, my body's telling me that. You should be able to do that. Who told you had to get up? And not only did you have to get up by 8 o'clock in the morning with my dad, living in his house, living on the front of his rules, but you had to be dressed and ready to go for the day. Who does that on Saturday morning? Who's dressed and ready? See, y'all think this is just during the school year, but this is also during the summer. My daddy had us up and out of bed, ready to go for the day at 8 o'clock. I don't know about my brother, but I thought that was the dumbest rule ever until I got to CIU and had 8 o'clock classes. I was dressed and ready to go, never showing up late. And I remember Jack Layman used to say, why are so many of you all coming in late? And I used to think the same thing. Why are you all coming in late? Because if you lived in my dad's house, you had to be dressed and ready to go at 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't realize this, but my daddy gave me a habit that would keep us from being lazy. Even when I tried to stay in the bed a little late on Saturday morning, I made it to 8:10 before. But before I can still hear my dad's voice saying, it's time to get up now. It's time to get dressed, and it's time to get ready for today. If you need more rest, go to bed earlier the night before. Who does that on Friday night anyway? You know, as I'm looking at this text, he reminds us that, hey, there's no room for laziness. As you look at the Proverbs, I wish I had the time just to survey Proverbs. One guy says it best. Dr. Beyer probably taught me this, that one guy says, there's a lion in the street. I can't go out there. Or another proverb says it this way. There's a lion in the square because he's so lazy he doesn't want to go out there. So he sits back and he does nothing with his time, nothing with his day, but enjoys the laziness of it. And in one sense, finding balance says, don't be lazy. On the other sense, this text is telling us also to find rest because there's a sense that some of us, we go to the other extreme. We're not lazy, but we don't just labor, but become workaholics. We don't get one job, we get two jobs. We don't get two jobs, we get three jobs. And we feel a badge of spirituality because we're working ourselves to the bone. And this text says, wait a minute, nope. That's not how it works either, because in verse 6 it says, better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. The selfishness in this verse really, really comes out because this person really works hard. They're laboring, they're doing everything they know how. They're working hard, but he says, look, don't overwork. Don't become a workaholic. Because when your energy gets too low, I know from life, the enemy can set up a foothold in your backyard. Sin can creep in when you're overworked. Matter of fact, he says, this is vanity in verse 7. Verse 8 reminds us, who are you working for? There's no one. I mean, is the grave going to say, well done, because you've gotten here and you are rich? My mama used to say it this way. Can I tell you some of my mama theology? Y'all better say yes, because this is my mama's theology. My mama used to say this, I've never seen a U-Haul fall a hearse. Some of y'all don't even know what a U-Haul is. Those are those moving trucks that help you move from one place to another. Amen. You can't take it with you. There has to be some times where you stop and smell the roses. As you're finding balance for your life, I'm wondering how many of us take a true Sabbath, where we take some time. Take some time for ourselves and take some time to get along with God and let him refresh us, because we're trying to keep the balance in our lives. We don't want to be lazy on one extreme, but we don't want to become workaholics on the other extreme. So we pull it back to the center and find the balance for our lives. You know, this text doesn't just stop there, but it goes on to a second issue that's found in the next few verses. And this is the whole idea of being discontent versus content. Put it on the screen for me. Discontent versus content. Oh, discontentment versus contentment. Let me back up to one that I skipped over. Let me back up. Let me talk about being independent versus dependent. This is in verses 7 through 12. And I've already read verses 7 and 8 for you. This person who has no companion, no son, no brother. And then verse 9 picks up this story. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I want to talk about being independent versus dependent. I have an aunt. She's gone to heaven now. Her name was Joyce Ann. She was the most independent person that I've ever met in my life. She lived out in San Antonio, Texas for a while. And when she went home to be with the Lord, she died in Tyler, Texas. My Aunt Joyce was so independent that she didn't need anybody. I mean, she didn't need anybody. If we went to the movies, everybody else in the family would sit in one section. Joyce would go and sit in a section by herself, because she didn't need our opinion or commentary during the movie. Once upon a time, my father said, if we promise to be quiet the whole movie, will you sit with us? She said, no, you'll be breathing, and you can't stop breathing. That was just my Aunt Joyce. Matter of fact, if we were to go out to dinner, Joyce would always get a table by herself. She loved being alone. She loved being independent. Matter of fact, when we'd go to her house, Joyce would speak on the way to her room, and I could still hear the door closing behind her. And she wouldn't emerge till the next morning. And I'm thinking to myself, who is she in there with? So I built up the nerve to ask her one day, who do you spend time with in your room? She said, me, myself, and I. And we three dwell by ourselves. She was just independent. She didn't need anybody. She was just good. Are y'all following what I'm saying? She didn't need any friends. She didn't need any family. She was just good. And you know, when she died all by herself. And I said, what a miserable way to go. On the other hand, in this text, it talks about that person who's dependent. My Aunt Joyce is probably found in verse 8. She's the one that had no children, no husband, no nothing. She's just by herself. But better to have a friend to help navigate this life with, because you can't do life by yourself. Amen, Rogers. Some of the best friendships that you can forge in this life are going to come out of this room. Some of the lifelong friendships that you can have as you try to strike balance in this life between being independent and dependent is right here in this room. Now, as I talk about being dependent, let me strike a balance. Because some of you can't go anywhere by yourself. You're so dependent. I've even been at the table before when someone says, I'm getting ready to go to the bathroom. Will someone go with me? No! I don't want to be that dependent now. Wait a minute. I'm in the wrong crowd for that comment. I'm sorry. Take that off the tape. But I mean, some of us are so dependent, we can't do anything by ourselves. We can't go to the library by ourselves. We can't go to Walmart by ourselves. You know we can't go to Starbucks by ourselves. You got to have a friend if you're going to go to Starbucks. We can't go to Ramshack by ourselves. We can't do anything by ourselves. Sometimes I wonder, can we breathe by ourselves? Because we're so dependent. I think there's a place that, a time that we can get along with God. And God wants to have a one-on-one with us without distractions. And that's always appropriate. So somewhere between the independent person, like my Aunt Joyce, and somewhere between the dependent person who can't go to the bathroom by themselves, we have to strike that balance in the middle of saying, Lord, help me to find the balanced life. I was at a prayer conference a few weeks ago, and I was sharing with the church about prayer, and I was looking at prayer through the book of Luke. And I was just rattling off about prayer, and I thought I was doing a pretty good job. And it was time for Q&A. I said, praise the Lord. And one lady raised her hand, and she asked me a question. She made a statement. She said, I hate to pray by myself. She said, can I always pray with someone else? And at first, when I heard her question, I thought, wow, this lady wants to have a community of prayer. But in the moment, I heard it a little deeper. She didn't want to spend that time, that investment of getting along with God by herself. And I challenged her to have some blessed quietness in her life. And she said, if I ever have to have blessed quietness, I'd rather not pray, because I don't want to meet with God by myself. I wonder, is there anyone in this room you're so dependent on others till you can't get along with God by yourself? There's always room. There's always times for blessed quietness. Just you and God. Speak to my heart. So somewhere between that independent person and that dependent, you can't do life by yourself. Find some good friends. Find some good friends that can help you navigate life. I had a young lady in my church. She started dating somebody that she shouldn't have been dating. And everybody else could recognize it except for her. When she brought him to church, he didn't just put up yellow flags. They were red flags. Matter of fact, there were all kinds of flags being flown that day. You'd have thought we were the United Nations that day. There were all kind of flies going on. And people started speaking into her life. And at first, she used the L word. Can I tell you what the L word? I'm in love. You know, love can make you stupid. I mean, blind sometimes. I'm wrong word, Freudian slip. I'm sorry, Dr. Jones, I shouldn't use that word, stupid. I mean, blind sometimes. But she was blinded by her love. She was just like, this is my ideal guy. Mwah, I just can't wait till we marry and get together. But the saints never stopped praying for her. The saints never stopped. I have a GPS in my car. And every once in a while, when I plugged in a location that I need to travel with my GPS, sometime the road ahead, there's an obstacle, and my GPS can't see that obstacle, and I'll take a different route. And my GPS in my car will stop talking for a moment. And I say, uh-huh, you ain't got nothing to say now, uh-huh. But you know what that GPS will do? After a few moments of blessed quietness, it'll come back on, take the next turn ahead and make a U-turn and turn around. I said, I thought this thing was going to be quiet for the rest of my journey, but it's still talking to me even when I made the wrong turn. Sometimes we think God stops talking because we made the wrong turn. But thank God he keeps right on talking. My sister thought because the saints stopped talking at church that she was going to get off and she was going to do whatever she wanted to do. But people stopped talking to her and they started talking to God for her. And they got on their knees and they prayed her through a difficult situation. And she cried a many a tears in the days ahead. But you know what? God delivered her from the lion's mouth. Why? Because she had a community around her that would help her navigate life. You know, I've heard Dr. Jones. Can I steal something that you've said a few times? I'm going to steal it. I'm going to act like it was mine. Don't tell nobody. You don't want to tell nobody? Okay, I stole this from somebody, a great man. He said there's three things you need to make sure you watch. These three decisions are the most important decisions that you're going to make. Who's going to be your master? What's your mission? And who's going to be your mate? This text has nothing to do about your marital partner in the future, but I want to say you, it's easier to navigate life with the right person than to try to get out of the relationship with the wrong person. I'm going to say amen to myself right there. Because it can get messy if you hook your caboose up to somebody's engine and it's the wrong person. I met a young lady yesterday. She said, I'll never get married again because marriage has disappointed me. And I said, it wasn't marriage that disappointed you. It was the man that disappointed you. Because it's not marriage that will disappoint you. It's the one you connect yourself to in marriage that will disappoint you. So if yellow flags ever start occurring in your relationship, say, Lord, let the scales fall from my eyes and let me see this person that I'm with. Never mind, I'm with the wrong crowd today. First of all, if you're finding balance, I want to find balance between labor and laziness. I want to find balance between being independent and dependent. But there's one more balance I want to talk about real quickly. The time is gone. I must be tired because I didn't time this perfectly, Dr. Jones. So I'm going to ask for your grace this morning. But the last balance is this in this text, the contentment that balance versus discontentment. And let me just read it to you. It says in verse 13 through 16, better a poor and wise youth, this lad here, than an old and foolish king who would be admonished no more. For he comes out of prison to be a king. Although he was born poor in his kingdom, I saw all the living who walked under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who came afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind. This last one, if I could just talk about it briefly here before we get to class, before we get to lunch, before I stand in the way of that chicken, that bird that's been prepared for us over in the cafeteria. Brothers and sisters, there's something to be said about a content life. Because in this text, of course, the discontent person was the king, and the content person was the lad. The discontent king represents someone who's ambitious, someone who's full of pride, someone who's full of selfishness. And along with his position, it leads to a heart that's unwilling to learn anything about this life because he's so discontent. He tries to bless everyone with his money, with his popularity, with his fame, and with his fortune. But I want to tell you, when the money runs out, your friends run out too. I just want to tell that person who's trying to bump up in life, go up in life too quickly, that popularity will fade. But how do I find the balance? By not being discontent in my status and being content wherever God places me and leaving in the hands of God whenever he wants to exalt me with a humble heart, with a humble spirit, God will take me to that place that he desires for me. You know, that could be that person in the room right now that says, that sounds good, but I want to beat the tar out of them in Christian love. It may not be your time right now. You may need to find grace and contentment right where you are and say, Lord, help me to enjoy life where I am and not to be so ambitious till I tear down my friends and leave my family behind. For some of you that's married, can I speak to you real quick? It's okay to make a B in the class instead of A. If that B means keeping your family together while you're in seminary, while you're in Bible college, it's okay to make a B instead of A, because that A will be an A in God's great book. That A will be an A for your family. For some of us that's trying to rise too quickly, maybe you're trying to rise too quickly by taking shortcuts, maybe cheating every now and then, maybe plagiarizing, not doing your own work every now and then. Going up the ladder is very easy, but that it's that sudden fall that comes so harshly. And how do I find the balance? Somewhere between discontentment and contentment, I want to find that perfect place for me, that place in contentment that God has. Because popularity will come and popularity will go. I want to tell y'all my story about when I got my first members only jacket. Some of y'all don't even know what a members only jacket is. Now, some of y'all are showing your age over here because you all know what a members jacket is. A members only, put your hand down, brother. This ain't the time right now. And I told my parents that if they bought me a members only jacket, I'd wear it for the rest of my life. I don't even know what the jacket is now. So guess what I want you to do? This last slide here. Find the balance. Find God's balance for your life. I want to pray with us. I want you to bow your heads real quickly here. Maybe as I was speaking this morning, maybe God was striking that balance chord in your life. And maybe today, as he was striking that balance chord, you know you need more balance, more grace in this area than others around you. And if the Lord is using this moment to speak to you to say, hey, you need to find some friends that'll help you navigate life. If the Lord is using this moment to say, hey, you need to make sure you're not trying to be popular as much as you're trying to be godly and content in me. As the Lord is using this moment to say, hey, rest in me. Yeah, go to work, but don't become a workaholic. If the Lord is using these times of balance to really strike a chord in you, I just want you to stand and just make this prayer personal between you and God. Just wherever you are, just stand wherever you are. If the Lord is using this, I see you, I see you, I see you, I see you. If the Lord is using this, just stand right where you are. I just want to pray for us. If the Lord is using this to speak to your heart today, to find that balance. Maybe you've been overworked. Maybe you're overwhelmed today. You haven't found that. The semester's early and you haven't found your sweet spot yet. That's you today. I want to pray for you in a special way today that you may find the balance that you need to navigate through this semester well, but not only through this semester, but through the rest of this life well. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank you for those who are standing with us, that you struck a special chord in their lives to help them find balance. Thank you for Solomon, who helps us understand there will be adversity, there will be opposition, There will be days of calamity, but in the midst of it all, we can have good friends, we can have times of rest, and we have times of commitment, contentment in you. I pray for those who are standing today, God. I pray that you help them, God, in a special way, find a new level of balance so they can navigate this journey even better in their lives. Lord, I wish I could say I just read Solomon's report on this, but Lord, you helped me in the last few months find more balance for my life. And I so appreciate it. I can breathe a lot easier now. Life is a little sweeter now because I found more balance for me. And I pray, God, that you give the same balance, not only to the students, but to the faculty and staff as well. We do pray for Jeremy, God. Touch his body. Continue to heal him now. May he find that balance too. Continue to do a work for you. We love you. We thank you, honor you now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.